just the congregation has a lower register this morning, more than normal. Maybe it's all the 45 ladies who are on retreat. They want you to let you know, want me to let you know they've had a great retreat. They've missed being a part of worship today, but they are on their way back home here in the next little while. So welcome to worship. Glad that you are here. We'd like to find out who is here today, and we do that by pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you can, take that pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information. That would be great. Check the correct boxes. This just gives us some information about you and lets us find out who is here today. So thank you for helping us with that. We do ask, once it gets to the end, if that person, when you're done, send it back, that pew pad, to where it got started. That first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you very much for that. A couple of announcements. I'm very thankful that Jeremy is playing the part of Mary today, and we appreciate. Now, Jeremy's just playing Jeremy today. He is not playing Mary. We're glad that he's here and leading our men's choir this morning. A couple of announcements. You're not leading them?
I'll take credit. Yeah. No.
Neil's leading them. See, I missed that memo. Jeremy is just making the stage look better, all right? And he's raising the academic level, obviously, of the stage because I messed that up. So Neil's going to be leading the choir. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it, man. So, yeah, I'm just singing, yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to move on because I messed all of that up. We are having children's time today. I want you to make note of that. And parenting class every Wednesday night. Parents, grandparents are invited to be a part of our conversation there in the coffee house area. Start that at 6:45. The budget will be, the proposed budget will be up for discussion this Wednesday. This is the budget for 2014. I want you to make note of that. Treat Street, we've got in just a few weeks, there are two major events that are coming. Our Fall Family Festival on October the 27th from 4 until 7. This is our chili and soup cook-off. Event. We invite the community to come. We have the inflatable games. This year we're adding something new. We're adding a ministry fair. We're inviting the various agencies throughout our community who have ministry and people that at College Park who serve in these different ministries. These organizations will come and be a part of our event that day so that you can find organizations to volunteer with. You can find how we're serving in the community, and we're kind of combining the ministry fair we did a few years ago with the Fall Festival into one event. It's going to be a big time. Great food, great fellowship, a lot of fun, and we look forward to that on October the 27th. Then, on October the 31st, we are having Treat Street. This is our community outreach. We decorate about 25 doors throughout the church, and we have kids, our kids, community kids, any, you know, big kids, young kids, old kids. It doesn't matter. You can wear a costume, not wear a costume. You can go door to door and get candy, play games. But to make this happen, we need Sunday school classes. We need mission groups. We need individuals, couples, to sign up to decorate a door in some child-centric theme, a board game or a cartoon character or something similar. And we will assign you a door, and you will be responsible for that door and for passing out of the candy and any games. So if your Sunday school class or your group or your family would be able and willing to do a door for us, please see me. We need to try to sign those up as soon as possible to make sure we have enough doors for all the kids. Last year we had about 350 people come through here that night. This year we're expecting more, so we hope we need as many people to help out with that as we can. RAs, y'all have an announcement. Come on.
Good morning, College Park. Jared and I want to let you know the RAs are at it again. We're going to cook some pancakes. We want you all to know what we're doing to be part of the fun. And be part of the fun. It got a little confused there.
We will be cooking a pancake breakfast on Saturday, November the 9th. We will begin serving at 7 a.m. and keep serving until 1 p.m.
So no excuses about sleeping late on Saturday either. We are stirring them up past lunchtime, too. We will be making pancakes, and sausage,
Don't forget about the fresh coffee, milk, and orange juice.
And don't forget about the butter and syrup.
Syrup. The cost? Adults are $7 each. Kids 12 to 6 are only $4, and kids 5 and under eat free.
You mean my brother can eat for free? He isn't 6 yet.
Yep, he sure can.
What? It was on my lines. Well, we better get Mr. Charlie to cook a bunch more because Shane can't eat.
I think the cooks will have plenty for everyone, including Shane. So just to make sure everybody knows where?
Well, it's here at College Park in Smith Hall.
When?
Saturday, November 9th, from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m.
And why?
To help the RAs support our local missions. Is that what it says?
Please see one of the RAs or RA leaders to pre-purchase tickets for the breakfast. We also have it set up to pay on the computer at the kiosk in the hall or on the internet under the events tab.
Thank you.
Yesterday, there was a preview event for the pancakes, and I know people, so I got invited. Those pancakes are good. You need to pay now. Pay double. Pay triple. You do not want to miss this pancake. Just for the entertainment factor alone, it is going to be worth the money. So we appreciate all our RAs and all their efforts in making that happen. Mary wanted me to let you know, Bible study begins tomorrow, October 14th at 10 o'clock, Pursuing God's Love. It's a study of Genesis, and all are welcome to be a part of that study tomorrow at 10 here at the church. Also, she wanted me to let you know, no music rehearsals today, youth choir, channels, handbells. No rehearsals today. The youth will have their normal schedule except for no youth choir. So I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We are very blessed by your presence today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you, and they will come down the aisles now and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Anybody go to the fair? Anybody? Fair? No. Smart people. Smart people. I mean, who really needs a fried Oreo? I mean, who really needs? I know. There's hands in the back by the ushers. Fried Oreos, fried Reese's. It's amazing what people's imagination come up with. I mean, think about taking a Reese's and frying it. That is a cardiologist's dream, right? The imagination of some people, and I'm just, our God is so much more imaginative. How unique you and all of us really are. And through his providence and through his giftedness, how amazing he has created our world. People that come up with crazy things that we see at the fair, but beautiful music, sanctuaries, all these things God has given to human beings' imagination. He inspired his word to be written down and passed on. And because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through God's word, we are here today. We should be thankful for the uniqueness of all of God's creatures. and the inspiration that God puts within us. That is another reason for us to worship and to be thankful today. Let us prepare for worship.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
They need to do that more. That was good. That was good. Let's pray together. Our precious Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus was shed for us. And the beauty of that moment, the beauty of the cross, where the love of God is clearly seen. You give us purpose. You give us forgiveness, mercy, and grace, which calls us to sing with everything that we have, to give every ounce of energy to you, to give our very lives. That's why we come to worship. That's why we come in this place, together with fellow believers, to worship you, to show the world our faith in you. Hear us as we sing. Hear us as we proclaim our love for you. And speak to us, we pray, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. All the kids come on down. All right. There we go. Come on, fellas. All right, we got to play a game this morning, okay? Can y'all help me out? Come on down. Okay. Have y'all ever played I Spy? Okay, I Spy. Easy game. Easy. Yeah, that's a good game to play. Okay, I Spy something that's big and white. And it's the church. Oh, thought you were going to say me. No, it's not me. Okay, big and white. Can you find, look around, something big and white? What do you think? I Spy, what do you think? No, it's not the window. What do you think? The speaker, yes. Oh, can you grunt? Oh, yeah. Okay, speaker. All right, let's see. I Spy something little and yellow. Little and yellow. Well, that's a good guess. That's not it. The flame. That's right. We got the flame over here. Let's see. I spy something yellow. The chandelier? No, that's close. That's close. You're getting warm. It's in Lydia. That's close. What do you think? The candle. That was a good guess. It's something over here. Something yellow. Something. Oh, there. Okay. Okay. Let's see. I spy something brown. Brown. Oh, that's a good guess. Though it could be the Oregon. No, not quite. What do you think, Lydia? Up there? No, it's close, but it's that way. It's brown. The cross. That's exactly right. You did so good with that game. Do you like playing I Spy? Well, I'm going to tell you something. In the Bible is just, it's kind of like I Spy for me. You want to know why? Because in the Bible, God shows us what he wants us to see and things that he wants us to learn. Can you tell me one thing that you've learned by reading the Bible? Just tell me one thing. That Jesus is it. That's right. We learned about the cross, didn't we? In the Bible. And we, do you see the little flame right there? When we light that at the beginning of the service, that reminds everybody that's here that the Holy Spirit, who's God with us, he is in the room with us, and that candle reminds us of that. And that's something the Bible teaches us. Teaches us about the cross, teaches us about the Holy Spirit, teaches us what God wants us to see. That's right. We come here to teach and to learn, and we learn by opening what? The Bible. That's what Pastor Raymond's going to talk about. Inside the Bible, God teaches us everything we need to learn. He wants us to see certain things about how we treat everybody, how we learn about Jesus' example. So when you read the Bible, it's God is trying to show you something. Just like we did I Spy, God is trying to show you something when you read the Bible. So next time you read the Bible, let's pray, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me about the Bible? Okay? Yes. What about the cross? That's right. It is a symbol of Jesus. And you were taught that because somebody read that in the Bible. That's what God wanted us to see. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much. All the ways that you try to teach us about you. And through the Bible, we see you and all the things that you want us to learn about how we should treat our moms and our dads, how we should love each other, take care of each other. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats now. Good job.
All else to me. My mom tells a story about a friend of hers who had had a particularly fun weekend with her grandkids and told my mom, she said, "You know, if I had known grandkids were going to be this much fun, I'd have had them first." And I suspect if we could talk to those who've gone on ahead of us, they would probably say, "You know, heaven's a pretty good deal. I think I should have done this first." But unfortunately, you know, life isn't like that. And I think if we lose sight of the journey that we take here, then we lose sight of why we are here. You know, if we seek out to get to our grandkids, then we might forget our kids. And you might forget to have the opportunity to sing with your son or to go and watch your daughter dance at a ball game. So I think that it's important for us to remember that the path that we have here for us is marked by the blood that we sang about this morning. And I will confess that the path is not always bright. Sometimes it's shaded. And it's hard to see those drops of blood that Jesus left for us to show us the way. But I think if we look with our hearts instead of with our minds, we will always be able to find that way. You know, if we could say, "Oh, we're all going to go straight to heaven right now," there'd be a long line at this door. But the truth is, the path to heaven does go through that door. But it doesn't go straight to heaven for most of us. It goes through those who are out there in need, those who need us to be there, to build houses, to teach them about the word that God left for us, and to teach them to look for those spots of blood. I hope that we don't ever lose sight of that path. But if we do, we know where to find it. And that's in the drops that Jesus left for us. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for the blood that you did shed for us and the path that you left for us as we go through this life. And we realize, Lord, that sometimes the path goes through the bright sunshine, and it's easy to see, and it's easy to celebrate with those around us. But sometimes, Lord, the path is in the shadows. Sometimes it's difficult to see. But it's with our hearts that if we look to you, Lord, we know that you will guide us through that path. We're grateful, Lord, for that path. We're grateful for the gift that you gave us in your Son and the blood that he spilled on our behalf. We now gather, Lord, to return the meager gifts that we can give back to you, but we ask that you would take these gifts as you took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and bless them, multiply them, and take them to those who are in need that they might feel that love and they might see that path. Bless this, bless the gift and bless the giver, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Follow that, man. Word of God, speak. It does. Problem is, sometimes we're too busy talking to hear it. Amen? It really is. We're in our third week / fourth week of 40 days in the Word. As you'll recall, the first week we talked about inspiration and the seven reasons we know, at least seven reasons we know, that we can trust God's Word. It's not a human book. It is a divine Word. It is the Word of God. Last week, we talked about foundation. The seven reasons that God gave us His Word, how it can change our life, how it supports and undergirds all that we are. This week, we're going to look at the issue of illumination. And in general, as we look around us here, Jeff's already pointed out there's a lot of bright and yellow and everything else in the sanctuary. In general, the more light there is, the more clarity there is. The more light there is, the more clearly you can see things. And that's also true when it comes to God's Word. The more light, the more enlightened your mind is, the more illuminated, the more you're going to get out of reading God's Word. And so the natural question from that is, well, how does God illuminate my mind for His Word? Well, let's first define illumination. In my book, the way we're going to operate today, kind of the thesis is, illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's Word and how it applies to my life. Do a little background here. Before Jesus went back to heaven, He said, I'm going to heaven. After the resurrection, I'm going back there, but I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live with you and to live in you. And the Holy Spirit's job, among several things, one of them is to illuminate the Bible, to help you see the things in this book that you would not otherwise see. Let me share with you a couple of verses here. John 14, 26. This is Jesus speaking. It says, Jesus said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you." Everything that who has said? Jesus. Okay? He's telling the disciples, the Spirit is coming to remind you of the things that I've said. Then in verse 17, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us to understand the truth that's here in God's Word, the truth that is God's Word. And then in John 16, verse 15, the Spirit will take from what is mine, and the reference here, these are the words of Jesus, okay? The Spirit will take from the words of Jesus and make it known to you, this illumination of the revelation of who Jesus is. It's God's Spirit saying, this is what God's Word means, and this is how it applies to you. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, said in chapter 1, verse 17, I ask the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you His Spirit. The Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. So all this is basically saying that this book is supernatural, not only in the fact that it's God's Word, but it's the only book that you can probably ever read and at the same time talk to the author. Okay, so as you're reading that, you can talk to God, say, what does this mean for me? What does it mean in general? How is this going to make a difference in my life? How am I supposed to use this today? And as you ask, the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, maybe not physically speaking, but perhaps puts a thought or puts an impression or begins to kind of open your spiritual eyes. He illuminates, He lightens, and the light bulb comes on. You go, oh, okay, I get that. I get that. Later, continuing on in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul goes on to explain. He said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, oh, wait a minute. The eyes of your heart? Explain that in just a minute. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened, may be illuminated, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, that phrase, the eyes of your heart, look at that for just a minute. What are your senses for? Think about that. The physical senses that you have. Seeing, hearing, touching. What are all those for? That's really how we experience the world, isn't it? If you think about it in that way. Our senses were given because that's how we experience the world. If one of those senses is taken away, the others are heightened so that you can compensate and truly experience the world. Well, the eyes of your heart then are spiritual senses. It's the senses that God gives us so that we can experience the spiritual world. Again, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Enlightened. That the Greek word there is the word that we get the word photo from. Photo, photograph. Think about what a photograph is. We had a tremendous answer in 9 o'clock service. I'm sorry, I'm not going to lay that out there because everything else would pale, okay? What is a photograph? A photograph is light on a piece of paper or through digitization. It is an image of light, an image born of light. So to enlighten means to shine the light on something, literally speaking. So when you're reading your Bible, you know, those moments that you have where you go, oh, I get it. Those aha moments. That's when you've been illuminated. The words have come alive to you. You find out what it means and how it applies to you. That's illumination. So what actually happens when God opens your spiritual eyes then? Several things here. When God opens your spiritual eyes and you see things as He wants you to see, first of all, you begin to see the solution to your problems. I don't know about you, but I have a few of them. Just a few. And as you're thinking through your problems that you may have, you know, how is God going to allow you to see the solution for those things? Well, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to open your spiritual eyes so that you can begin to see the world through God's eyes, a little bit different perspective from God's point of view. And you can do that through God's Word. Now, I know some people that have the Christopher Columbus method. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to find a land and land on it. You know, and you read that and you go, well, God, speak to me through there. Well, I'm not saying he can't use that, but I found it by experience that it works a little bit better if you're in a systematic Bible study, if you're reading God's word daily. And as you sit down to begin your time of study, you say, Father, I've got an issue here I'm trying to work out. Please show me something today. Show me something from your word that will help me with that. I find that that works a little bit better, okay? God can use his word. He does use his word to help us find the solution to our problems. The second thing he does with our spiritual eyes is we begin to see the barriers to our progress. There's some things in life that you see and you just can't seem to find your way around it. Barriers that are put up, it may be in terms of finances or relationships or whatever it may be. Barriers is there and you say, I just can't seem to get around it, Lord. Your eyes need to be open. They need to be illuminated. Let me share with you a great story. It comes from Numbers chapter 22. It's the story of a guy named Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God, but Balaam decided he was going to help the bad guys. Okay, he was going to help the enemy here. And we pick up the story in verse 22 of Numbers 22. But God was furious that Balaam was going to the bad guys. So he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. Balaam's donkey suddenly saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey saw him, but Balaam didn't. Okay, and the donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat the donkey and turned it back on the road. If you can see the humor here, it's great stuff. The second time, then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. It's even narrower. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing there, it tried to squeeze by the angel and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So what'd Balaam do? Beat the donkey, yeah. Third time, scripture says, then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place so narrow that the donkey could not get by at all. This time when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. Donkey just laid down. And in a fit of rage, guess what Balaam did? He beat the donkey. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had a donkey speak to me. This is a supernatural moment, okay? It truly is. And it's something that should not be lost on us. I remember when I was kind of struggling with the call to preach, my father giving me great fatherly counsel, said, son, if the Lord can speak through Balaam's donkey, surely he can do something with you. Those are the words of encouragement that just touch a man's heart. I mean, they really do. You know, so this is a supernatural moment. This donkey speaks to Balaam. And Balaam, I guess if a donkey speaks to you, you better answer it. I don't know. But Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Circle that. That's illumination. He opened Balaam's eyes. And now Balaam saw the problem. It says he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. Yikes. That will get your attention. So what does Balaam do now that his eyes are open and he's seen what in front of him? Scripture says he bowed low and fell face down and he worshiped God. That's an appropriate response. Now, this is a strange story, granted. Multiple sermons could spin out of this story. But here's the point to it. You have plans in your life that just don't seem to work out. You've tried going this way and that way. The path keeps getting blocked. You get your foot crushed. You get upset. You get frustrated. All of this stuff. And you really have a couple choices. You can ask God to show you the nature of why he's blocking your path, or you can beat your donkey. Spiritually speaking, literally speaking, however. I mean, those are your two options. You can get frustrated, or you can talk to God about it. Say, show me your path. Third thing, when God opens your spiritual eyes, you begin to see the defense for what's attacking you. I don't know if you've ever felt attacked. Spiritually speaking or relationally speaking, things, maybe your body, you feel like you're being attacked by germs. You know, it is cold and flu season coming up. You know, and if you haven't experienced it yet, you probably will. All right, some point where you feel under attack, or maybe you're being attacked by former friends or something like that, or your family you feel like is under attack, and you're being beaten down maybe by guilt and those type of things. And you're thinking you're all alone and that God, you know, what is God doing in all this? And you begin to ask these kind of questions. There's a great story. The Old Testament's filled with some good stuff, people. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's the story of Elisha and the Arameans. Now, the nation of Aram was always at war with Israel. And what was going on, they were getting into this cycle. The king of Aram had all these great plans to attack Israel. And he would lay out these beautiful strategies, and before he knew it, he would attack, and he was defeated because it seemed as if Israel always knew what he was going to do before they ever got there. And this was getting kind of, he was all out of fun with this. All right, so he's thinking, you know, I've got a traitor. I've got a traitor in my midst. I can't win. No matter what plan I come up, somebody is telling my secrets to the Israelites. And we pick up the story in verse 10 of 2 Kings 6. This happened several times, so the king of Aram became very upset over it. He called in his officers and he demanded, "Which one of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet of Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." And the king said, "You go find out where Elisha is, and we're going to send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." And Dothan was a little town there in Israel. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when Elisha's servant got up early the next morning and went outside, he saw the city surrounded by these troops, by chariots and by horses. And he goes back in and he tells Elisha, "What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?" And Elisha replied, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." And the servant's thinking, "Yeah, right. Yeah, you need to come out here and look, buddy." Yeah, and then in verse 17, it says, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes." Illumination. Open his eyes. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked out, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Well, now that changes things, doesn't it? That certainly, he's not afraid anymore. You lose your fear when God is near. And he is near, whether you can see him or not. The rest of the story plays out. As the Aramean army advanced toward them, Elisha prayed out, "Oh Lord, make them blind. Remove the illumination. Make them blind." Remember what he could have prayed? "Kill them all. Let's be done with this. Let's end this right here." He didn't. He said, "Just blind them." And the Lord did as Elisha asked. So Elisha went out and told them, "You've come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I'll take you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. Guess who's at Samaria? The king of Israel with the army. Yeah. With the army there. And here's this picture of Elisha leading the enemy army. So, you know, they've all been blinded. One guy leading them right into the hand of the Israelite army. And it says in Scripture, as soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." And the Lord did that. And they discovered that they were in Samaria. Oh my. And when Elisha's king, the king of Israel, saw the captive enemy army, he shouted to Elisha, "Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elisha told him. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again." So the king of Israel made a great feast for the Aramean army, and then he sent them home to their king. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Well, yeah, I guess so. You see, the easiest way to get rid of an enemy is to turn them into a friend. Take the impossible circumstances, give them to God, see what he can do. God needs to open your eyes so that you can see all the resources that he's commanded to take care of you. See with spiritual eyes. The fourth benefit of being able to see with spiritual eyes, to have my mind illuminated, is I see how God is walking with me. You see, when God opens my eyes, I see that he is journeying with me. He's been there all along. He set that path out, and he's walking down that path with us. And there's a beautiful story in Luke chapter 24. This occurred on the day that Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And he's walking with a couple of disciples. He's walking with them, and they don't recognize him. They don't realize who he is. Picking up in Luke chapter 24, by this time they, being the disciples of Jesus, were nearing Emmaus at the end of their journey. Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with him since it was getting late. And so he went home with them. They still don't recognize him here. And as they sat down to eat, Jesus took a small loaf of bread, asked God's blessing on it, broke it, and then gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened. It was illuminated. And they recognized him. In their grief, they could not see that Jesus was with them the whole time. They had experienced enormous loss and they couldn't see. They needed illumination. I don't know all of your specific losses during the course of this year. Some of you may have lost family, friends. You may have lost your health. You may have lost your job. I don't know all the details of all of your lives, but God does. And he's journeying with you. He's journeying with you. See him. See what he's doing in your life. Hopefully you're beginning to get a picture of how important, how vital to our Christian walk illumination is. Without illumination, you just look at a book and it doesn't make sense to you. It's just words on a page. And you say, well, how do I get it then? I mean, I understand the value of it, so how do I get it? Let me make five suggestions to you, five quick suggestions. Five things to get your eyes open, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so he can illuminate and enlighten your mind. First of all, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that. You can't just know about Jesus. You can't just know details about his life. You have to know him personally. You have to have a relationship with him. And until you have that relationship, I'm sorry, you're blind. Spiritually speaking, you're blind. You can only see from a human viewpoint. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is why it's nonsense to expect non-believers to act like believers. It's nonsense to say, here's how you ought to act. They have no power by which to act that way. 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, the devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news. And in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God until he is born again. You have to have that relationship. Second of all, you need to ask God to open your eyes by faith. In faith, open up your eyes. Last week, I gave you a prayer from Psalm 119, verse 18. It goes like this. God, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your laws, that I may see wonderful things in your word. I would suggest you pray that every time you sit down with God's word. Father, open my eyes that I can see wonderful things, because there are wonderful things in his book. There are wonder-filled things in his book. Pray and ask God, illuminate my eyes. And what's God's promise? In Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and will watch over you. That's his promise to you. Ask him for illumination. Ask him. Third, come with a humble attitude. If I come to God's word and say, God, I've pretty much got my life figured out, but if you got a little tidbit here to kind of icing on the cake, I'd appreciate it. No, I don't think so. Psalm 25, 9 says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. not our way. Teaches them his way. He guides the humble. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we have a class named after this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will do what? Make your path straight. Another translation says direct your path. Lean on him. He will point you down the right path. God's word seems pretty clear. We need to come to him with an humble heart, seeking his ways. Number four, cleanse your heart of sin and conflict. Now, I cannot get my eyes opened. It's really difficult to get my spiritual eyes tuned into God's word if my mind and my life are full of junk. That's a deep spiritual term there, junk. If it's full of junk, what kind of junk? Sin, conflict, personal conflicts with my neighbors, all those type of things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It doesn't say blessed are the perfect people. It says the pure in heart. And the distinction is none of us are perfect. But the idea, the principle is for us to confess those shortcomings. That's what makes us pure in heart, the confession. Giving those shortcomings, giving those sins, those conflicts back to God. Finally, number five, commit in advance to do what God says. Make that commitment right up front to do what God says. What he teaches you, commit to do it. Psalm 119, verse 33 and 34, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them. Teach me, God, and I'll do it. Teach me, I'll do it. You see, promise, commitment, I'll keep it. You teach me, I'll do it. Give me understanding, and I'll keep your laws. I'll obey with all of my heart. Whatever you show me that you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Why? Because acting on it is what God desires from us. Bible knowledge does no good if it's not acted upon. And seldom does God give you step two until you step out with step one. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ask God in faith, open my eyes, Father. Come with an humble attitude. Cleanse your heart. Pour it out to him. Let him cleanse you of sin and conflict in your life. And then commit in advance to do what God shows you, what he teaches you. Try those things this week. Try them. I know it's a process, not a one-time act. It's a process. Try approaching God's word like that this week, and I know he's going to make a difference. I know he will. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, the principles of your word, the promises of your word. And God, we pray that as we, as your people, continue to look into your word, that you would open our eyes and truly show us what you desire from us. And Father, then empower us through your spirit to act upon it, to put it into place in our life. God, and as we do that, we know that you'll get the glory because you are living through us. We thank you for that. We thank you for the promises that you give. Father, we pray that as we live out our lives, that we would point other people to you. That as our eyes are open, that we would lead others to know how they can have a relationship with you. All of these things we ask in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Step number one was a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, that is obviously step number one. And today, we're going to sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. I'd love to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're not yet a believer, I'll share with you how you can have that relationship. If you are a believer and you say, Rayon, I never really thought about God's word in that way, how powerful it is and how it can lead my life and all of those things, certainly talk with God where you are. If you'd like for me to pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this church, I highly recommend it. I am a member myself. And we would love to talk with you about the ways that we receive members. Whatever your decision is, I invite you, as we stand and sing together now, make that decision. Be honest with God as we sing together. Stand with me. following the benediction, greet one another, welcome guests, encourage one another. And let me ask you this afternoon as you go from this place, be in prayer for our ladies who are traveling back from Montreat. Be in prayer for them. It's a large group, and you put that many people on the road, and we pray that they'll get back here safely. So I hope you have a blessed week. Let's pray together as we leave. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, the blessings that you've placed in our path that we don't even recognize, or even worse, that we don't give you the credit for. God, we pray that as we go from here, we would truly begin to recognize all the biddings that you offer to us, all the things that you put in our path. Father, allow us to use those as opportunities to give praise and to serve you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.